You're listening to Utah Public Radio. I'm Carrie Bringhurst. Earlier this week, on the second day of January, around 10:19 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, the Earth was as close to the sun as it will get this year. This might surprise many of us who are wondering, why then are temperatures so cold? They've plummeted to the below zero mark for several days now. Well, Patrick Wiggins is the Solar System Ambassador to Utah for NASA. We were curious as to how we can be so close to the sun without warming up at least a little bit. So we called him, asked him what's up with the position of the sun, among other things.
The first thing that I think that started this whole communication was yesterday Earth was at perihelion, so closest to the sun. And so we can explain why it is when we're closest to the source of the heat, we're so cold. The other thing would be the New Horizons spacecraft flew past a minor planet, the most distant object ever explored by humans, and that was yesterday. Also yesterday, boy, yesterday was a big deal. China landed a space probe on the far side, please, not the dark side, but on the far side of the moon. And another NASA probe, OSIRIS-REx, went into orbit around another minor planet or asteroid. So lots of things to talk about.
Well, then let's begin with you explaining to us about the position of the sun, the perihelion, and why things don't warm up a bit.
You know, I'm looking at my thermometer right now outside in my outdoor observatory. It's 3 below. That's Celsius, but still, you know, it's freezing. The distance between when we're closest and we're furthest, the change is so small. The Earth's orbit is basically a circle. When we're closest and when we're furthest away makes very little difference because it doesn't change that much. The thing that does make a difference is the fact that the Earth got clobbered a few billion years ago and knocked partially on its side, and so now we're tilted. And that means that parts of the year we're tilted towards the sun and parts of the year we're tilted away from it. And depending on where you are on the planet, northern hemisphere or southern hemisphere, that tilt warms you up or cools you down.
And I think you've brought back a high school science class lesson.
I do outreach for the University of Utah and for third grade and sixth grade. And part of what I cover is seasons and why they happen. But I take an Earth globe and I put all the kids in the middle of the room and then I literally run around the kids. 70-year-old guy running around a bunch of kids, but they think that's funny. But it's a good demonstration of why the sun shines so brightly in the summertime and so weakly in the wintertime.
And what about China and what they've been doing as far as their research?
China has had a very big space program for quite some time. They're pretty tight-lipped about what they're doing. China, just for the first time in history, nobody's ever done this before, they landed a lander with a rover on the far side of the moon, part of the moon that's facing away from the Earth. And we never landed back there before. And it looks completely different. But the Chinese decided that, hey, they want to be the first.
Do we hope to learn much from that other than it looks different?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, the area that they decided to land is a very deep impression, if you will, where an asteroid of some sort long ago, I mean, this happened probably billions of years ago, ran into that side of the moon. And as you might expect, it made a big hole. And it's, you know, way bigger than Utah, for example. And they landed in that, but the farther down you get, the further back in time you are exploring. And so, in effect, it's going to be kind of like a time machine about, you know, what was the moon like a long, long time ago.
Well, so a lot of things happening. Anything we should look forward to?
Well, let's see. If we look forward just a couple of weeks to Sunday the 20th, I'm really hoping for clear skies. We are going to have a total eclipse of the moon starting in the early evening and going through until like midnight or thereabouts. So it's going to be well-placed and well-timed. So many of these events, unfortunately, seem to happen at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is fine for me. I'm up then. So, but this is an evening event. And again, a total eclipse of the moon, but you don't need telescopes. Just go out and, you know, stand in your backyard, look at the moon, do like I do if it's a full moon, which it will be, you know, howl a little bit. It's always fun to howl at the moon and wait for the shadow of the Earth to kind of gobble up the moon and it'll disappear for an hour or so and then pop back into view.
Well, Patrick Wiggins, it's always fun to talk with you and we appreciate you sharing your insight because I'm not up at 3 a.m, so somebody has to be. Thanks so much for your time.
I'm happy to do it. Thanks for calling.
Patrick works for NASA as a solar system ambassador to Utah, speaking with us today about all of the happenings this week in our solar system. You're listening to Utah Public Radio.